From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the expert on Mayans, John Major Jenkins. He's decoded the Mayan galactic cosmology. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Here's some of the news of the day, briefly. Well, China has confirmed its third human death from bird flu, saying a 41-year-old woman from the country's southeast succumbed to the H5N1 strain. Not to panic, the woman died December 21st, 2 weeks after falling ill. China's mainland has suffered a total of 7 human cases of bird flu. The country also had a suspected case in a 12-year-old girl who died. The country has reported 26 outbreaks in poultry throughout China since October 19th. Now, this will be one of the few times now that I will be reporting on the bird flu when it is in this kind of situation, because at this point, folks, it is not a pandemic. And as a number of guests who've been on this program before have said, there will not be a pandemic, but I wanted you to at least get this information. Well, windy weather fueling deadly grass fires in Oklahoma and Texas, forecasters predicting more dry and blustery weather in the regions for days to come. Flames ripped across some 20,000 acres in two states. At least 76 blazes were reported in Texas. 4 to 5 people have died specifically because of the fires. In New York, a 37-year-old man has been charged with child endangerment after one of two toddlers he was babysitting for was found drunk. He was already passed out. Some deputies were peering through the house window. I guess they were called by someone, and they saw him passed out, children wandering around the house. Now, they managed to awaken him, but he was totally intoxicated. They noticed the 2-year-old was having difficulty standing, had bloodshot eyes, smelled of alcohol, was very lethargic. The toddler was taken to the hospital where tests revealed that he was legally intoxicated, 2 years old. In Loveland, Colorado, a man trimming trees was killed after he was apparently pulled into a wood chipper. A police sergeant said the tree service employee died, and he and a coworker were cutting branches at a home there in Loveland when somehow he got pulled into the wood chipper. You know, the tradition of the New Year's resolutions goes all the way back to 153 B.C. I bring this up now because tomorrow night and Saturday, Art Bell will have part one and part two of his annual Traditions and Predictions show. So Art will be on with that. So this will be basically my New Year's Eve program for you. The 10 most common New Year resolutions, by the way. Number one, people want to lose weight. Number two, stop smoking. Then stick to a budget. Number four, save or earn more money. Number five, find a better job. Number six, become more organized. Number seven, exercise more. Number eight, be more patient at work or with others. Number nine, eat better. Number 10, become a better person. But I've always wondered, why does everybody wait? Why do they always put these off until the new year? In a moment, our guest, Doris Weil Helmerine, we'll talk with her about this on Coast to Coast AM. Doris Weil Helmerine is a psychotherapist who has been in private practice for 30 years, the author of 8 books. She's a corporate speaker, executive coach, an on-air therapist. She's written 1,000 newspaper columns distributed by Scripps Howard News Service Wire. Ms. Helmerine has appeared on Oprah, Good Morning America, CNN, and she also appeared regularly when I did my Nighthawk show in St. Louis. Hi, Doris. How are you?
George, how you doing?
Good. Happy New Year, by
the
way, Doris.
Happy New Year to you, too.
You know, I've always wondered why people always wait until the new year to do some of these resolutions that I just mentioned. Lose weight, stop smoking, stick to a budget, all these things, and many, many more. Why do they put it off?
Well, I don't know if they really put it off. I think what happens is they renew their desires because we're going to have a new season now, so they start thinking about it again. But I think people that, well, for example, want to lose weight, you know, they probably have gone on 3 or 4 diets, maybe even 10 diets during the year. They just haven't been very successful. But when the first of the year comes around, what happens is they get that energy up, because this is a time when you're supposed to take a look at yourself and actually declare a New Year's resolution. The same way with smoking. A lot of people try to give up smoking during the year, or to, you know, to do less gambling. By the way, when I listened to your list, I think it was interesting that there was nothing on there in terms of finding a boyfriend or girlfriend, because when I work with people in therapy, I see a lot
of relationship people
looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So I was surprised about that.
Well, now, changing some of these unhealthy behaviors, of course, is difficult. Do people generally seek out help to do this, or can they do it on their own?
Well, I think that's partly what therapy is all about, because people are not able to get where they want to go. So what they do is that they go to a therapist because, you know, for example, they do want to find a boyfriend or girlfriend, or they want to have a better marriage, or they want to lose weight, or they want to get a different job, or they want to, you know, they've lost 2 jobs and they don't want to lose another job. So they need to find out what in the heck they're doing that's inappropriate, and then what they need to be doing differently. So, yeah, that's exactly why people go into therapy.
What do you recommend people do? I mean, here we go. We're a couple days away from the new year, and people, again, are going to do their same thing. I know some people, by the way, Doris, that come up with these incredible resolutions, and then nothing happens. They don't push. They don't change. And then the next year comes along, and they come up with the same resolution again.
Yeah, well, I've done that, haven't you?
Who, me?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, every year I tell myself I'm going to work on patience. And I think I've gotten better over the years. In fact, I know I have. But every year, that's probably one of my resolutions that I'll make. So I usually try to make 3 resolutions a year and stick to those. So anyway, okay, so your question was again?
Well, you know, people change. They get to the resolution stage, right? The new year comes on us. And then, you know, they proclaim it to the world. And then during the year, they don't do anything. And then they come up with the same one next year.
Well, I think, first of all, it's, you know, resolutions sometimes don't work, because what happens is you can find more of an advantage in doing that particular behavior. And smoking, I think, is a very good example. What happens is a lot of people use smoking to take a break and to relax. So when they give up smoking, all of a sudden now they don't have an excuse to go out and take that break, or maybe they have more difficulty relaxing. So they find that there's more of an advantage in sticking with what they want to give up than not sticking with it. So that's why they're not successful. The other thing I think that happens is people frequently don't have a particular plan. So, you know, like I've talked to people and they say, well, this is the year I'm going to write that book. Except then they don't go forward and think, well, you know, when am I going to do that? Am I going to get up at 5 in the morning and work for 2 hours? Or I'm going to do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evening? What is the specific plan? And I think if you're going to have a resolution, and most of us make resolutions, what's the plan to be able to accomplish that particular resolution? You know, the other thing we know is that all behavior is purposeful. And so a person may gamble too much, and we're sort of like astonished at how much they lose and why are they doing this to themselves and their family. But what happens is we don't really understand what the purpose is of that particular activity. But there's a rule in psychiatry that everything people do is purposeful, and sometimes we just don't know what the purpose is.
Doris, I don't know if there is a poll that has ever studied this observation here, but what do you think? How many people every year are glad that year is gone and that a new one's coming?
George, I haven't the slightest idea. I would be making that up. I don't know.
A lot of people are always glad that year they're in is gone. You know, when New Year strikes, if you've ever been to a New Year's party or someplace, how many people say, and more than the others, say, God, I'm so glad that year is gone?
Well, I think if you are a negative thinker, you probably are going to be saying that, and more people tend to be negative than positive. And the reason is because during a period of a year, guess what happens? There's sickness, maybe a relative has died, maybe you've lost your job, there's been downsizing in the company. So all of a sudden, it's sort of like, whew, I'm glad that year is over, let's move on to a new year. And then you look at everything that's happening politically and everything that's happening over the world, and so people tend to say, gee, I'm glad that's over. But I think if you want to focus on the good things, or you do focus on the good things, then maybe you're not so happy that the year is over. But I have also heard that at parties. Gee, I'm glad that year's over. Although this year for me has been really good, so I'm not so sure I'm glad it's over.
You know, you go back, though, and you look at, you know, let's say the past 40 years, world events, national events, and people can, you know, adjust their own personal life. But we've always had chaos. We've always had catastrophe. We've always had sadness. We've always had high points in our life. You know, we've had the moon landings. We've had wars. We've had hurricanes. We've had earthquakes. We've had all kinds of tragedy. I think that's part of living, Doris. We're stuck with this. It's going to happen all the time, isn't it?
It is going to happen, and I think what you can do is you can focus on it or not. But one of the things is that we have news so available to us now. So I think we're much more in tune with or in touch, actually, with some of the crises that happen and some of the catastrophes. I mean, you know, 40 years ago, if Katrina happened, you just were not going to see what you saw today on television. Or the tsunami. I mean, you're just not going to see that information or have that information available to you. So I think that gives you a different perspective also.
We are very special with this program because it touches so many lives on an individual basis. There are a lot of people in this country, there are a lot of people in Canada who do not have family. They're alone. Mm-hmm. They listen to this radio show. This radio show has become their family. During holiday seasons especially, I would guess it's pretty hard for people to be alone. That's why, you know, I enjoy doing what I do, because I think it does open the doors for that one-on-one relationship. What do you tell people, though, who haven't reached out to, let's say, a program like this and feel this interactiveness and feel the fact that they're part of something? What do you tell people who are really on the outside, who are really alone, and they're pretty down about it?
Well, here's one of the things that I do is I usually say, okay, here's the deal. What you have to do is you're going to have to make a friend. And you'd be surprised how many people I see in therapy, and I ask them how many friends they have, and they don't have any friends. It's sort of like, oh, my gosh, well, one of the first things you're going to have to do is to make a friend. And so what I'll do is I'll direct them then to maybe they're going to go to an exercise class, and I say, you know what, look around at the people there. Is there somebody you could have coffee with afterwards? Or maybe I want them to join a class. Or maybe, you know, I'll have them go on the Internet and go to a chat room, at least start chatting with some people. So there are a variety of ways to reach out. But what you want to do is you want them to be, you want to be very specific with them in terms of what they are going to do in order to be able to reach out so that they can bring some other people into their lives. It's awful to be lonely. I think that's one of the worst things that people feel is a sense of loneliness. And there are a lot of people out there who are lonely. I see a lot of women who are lonely who have gotten a divorce. Maybe they've had two divorces, and now they're, you know, in their early 60s. Their kids are grown. Maybe their kids have moved away. And all of a sudden, you know, they don't have so many people in their lives. And the trick is to get them to reach out, to do something, to get involved in some sort of a way. Volunteer work is a terrific way to reach out to somebody else. In fact, I think everybody should make a New Year's resolution this year that they are going to do at least one volunteer-type activity per month. And that volunteer activity may be, you know, visiting an aunt in an aging aunt in a nursing home. One volunteer activity a month. What a different world we could make.
I opened up a door for somebody some time ago, and I thought she was going to cry. And apparently, nobody ever did that for her before.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
You know, the University of Chicago did a study recently about people this year in this country, in the United States, and it talked about depression and how most people feel as if things aren't going well for them. There's tension. There's anxiety. Doris, you can see it on the road. You can see it with people road raging.
I can't believe how rude people are sometimes.
It's amazing. That's the one thing. I talked about this a couple months ago, that I am witnessing people who are in a different zone. I mean, they're almost as if they're in a fog. If you've ever seen movies about zombies.
Some of these people, I agree with that.
I mean, they're zombies. I mean, I've seen people at green lights, they just sit there for 2 minutes, and people are honking behind me, and, you know, you hit your horn a little bit, and, I mean, they just don't wake up. What's happening? Why are people in a daze? And I'm seeing it more and more now than I did years ago.
I think people are so focused on all the things that they have to do and everything that has got to get done and how much bills are and how much they have to work. that they're really tremendously stressed. My partner and I talk about this all the time. We think people are much ruder, much meaner, much more out there, much more willing to get into your face today than they were, we'll say, 10 years ago. And it's amazing. It's, you know, it happens in the grocery store. It happens on the road. It happens everywhere. And it's pretty amazing to me. On the telephone, oh, my gosh, people are so rude on the phone.
Is it because it's a barometer of things that are going on? Maybe the economy isn't as good as it should be for some people. Maybe the world events are now beginning to affect people. Maybe the tension of terrorism is starting to get to people. Do you think those issues have anything to do with it?
I think, yes, they do. I think they impinge on people, and I think people are starting to feel somewhat out of control, like they don't have the kind of control over their life that they had hoped to. They also don't, if they're a parent, have the kind of control over their children that they used to have. So as a result, people are much more stressed, much more tense. And I think and the way they deal with that tension is to kind of lash out at the world or lash out at other people. And I think, again, that would be another good New Year's resolution, which is that you're going to be developing patience, or you know, you're going to try to sit back a little bit and see what you really enjoy about life. What I suggest to some people is, okay, every time you hit the hour, stop for 1 minute and think about some of the good things that have happened in your life. Every hour. And that is a wonderful way to change not only your thinking, but your feelings, and then ultimately your behavior, because we know you think, you feel, and then you behave. So you change the way you think, then you change the way you feel, and of course you're going to change your behavior, and you're not going to act like an idiot on the road or, you know, in the supermarket or wherever you tend to spew out your annoyance.
You said something interesting in the beginning of this chat, and that was negative energy is out there. I've always been a believer that you've got to surround yourself with positive energy, because if this negativity begins to get in and surrounds you, you know, that's it for you.
You're right. We call that the monkey see, monkey do syndrome. So if you see somebody else acting rude or they're rude to you on the telephone, your tendency is to raise your voice a little bit and you act rude back. And it's kind of back and forth, and then people escalate up. So the trick is to try, when somebody is acting rude, to be really nice and courteous. And as a consequence, oftentimes, and you can try this out tomorrow or the next day, as a consequence, they'll start to slow down and back off. I always talk to parents and adolescents about, oh my gosh, you know, they get into a screaming match with each other. Well, what's happening here? What's happening is that mom is trying to, we'll say, control her kid to be in on time, and he doesn't want to come in on time, and so he gets more mad, and then she gets more mad, and it's sort of like they escalate up. They keep ratcheting up their voice tone. They ratchet up the way they look in terms of their face, and what they're doing is they're really trying to control each other. And the trick is that if you can slow down, talk more slowly, more quietly, guess what happens? The other person starts to lean forward, maybe listen a little bit more, and you don't have that kind of meanness or ugliness that oftentimes happens in families.
Have you ever seen these people that I call, and some of them are not bad people at all, but they're called energy zappers, and no matter where you are, they could be standing in a room and you're drained, you're exhausted, and in some cases, they empty the room. Nobody's around anymore. They all leave. Have you seen these people?
Oh, I know some of these people. I call them the givers and the takers. Yes, I'll tell you, one of the energy zappers are people that constantly talk. They will not be quiet. Drives me crazy. So that would be one of those people that absolutely clean the room out. Another one is the people that are always making critical comments. Oh, my gosh, nothing is right with the world. I think those people are people that drain energy from you also.
So how do those people change their path?
I think what they have to do is make a decision that they want to change. Maybe, we'll say, a daughter has said to her mother, Mom, you're so critical. And the mother finally has decided that, okay, I'm going to make some changes. So what she decides to do is and if she would come to me, what I would say is, okay, how about if you write down every critical comment you make during, you know, the next week and then bring it back to me. So what I'm doing now is I'm getting her brain in gear. I'm having her actually do what we call a psychological step back, look at herself, and really get in touch with how many critical comments that she might make. So that would be one of the things that I would do.
I'll tell you what, Doris, we're going to keep you around to take some phone calls for the next half hour.
Okay,
your website, DorisWeilHelmering.com. What we'll kind of call it is your New Year resolutions line, and we'll get the Doris Weil Helmerine's reaction to some of the things that you think you want to change in the coming year. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, because this is sort of my New Year's Eve show, and I won't be talking to you until Sunday. By the way, we'll be back Sunday live on New Year's Day with a whole bunch of psychics and other people just to talk about the coming new year. You're really going to enjoy that program, so make sure you're a part of it. But this gives me the opportunity to say thank you to you for a wonderful year here for Coast to Coast. So thanks to all of you who listen on your favorite radio stations throughout North America. Those of you who listen on Streamlink, the Coast Riders, appreciate everything you have done, and I really look forward to our monthly chats. And we've got one coming up next Tuesday, by the way. And with Streamlink, by the way, Lex is going to flip the switch, and somewhere around the end of January, he's going to give you a 3-day free Streamlink weekend for those of you who haven't participated in that, because it's much more than just listening on your computer, because that's what you got your radio stations for. This is where you can also get podcasts, and, you know, we used to have tapes available a long time ago of programs. We don't do that anymore. You can do that all through Streamlink. The technology is just wonderful. So Lex is going to have a 3-day freebie for you sometime in January. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. Thanks to you Streamlink members. Thanks to all of you listening on XM Satellite. Appreciate everything you have done, specifically you truck drivers who keep America going. Those of you, the relatively new chat forum that has just really been dear to my heart, the NighthawkZone.com folks. They have done just a tremendous job bringing the fun back to radio. And thank you for everything you've done in the short year that you've been part of Coast to Coast. The Fantastic Four Pirates, of course, the original ones that have been with Art Bell since the beginning of time. Thank you for the year, and specifically Spike Mike for all you do. Yahoo Chat Clubs, the National Radio Club, all of you who are part of Coast to Coast. You're really family for all of us. Next hour, by the way, our guest will be John Major Jenkins, and we're going to talk about some things about the Mayans that you have never heard before. I'm looking forward to talking with him. But as you all know, it's going to be 5 years since I've been associated with Coast to Coast in April of the new year, 2006. 5 years already. I can't believe it. And when I went on the air to do the program for the first time, full-time, I said that I had planned to carry us through to the year 2012 because I want to see what happens with this Mayan calendar date. I am very curious about this. And then I said, and then I plan to retire after that because by that time I'd be 62 years old. That's pretty old enough, isn't it? Well, you know, I had dinner a few days ago. I'm here in St. Louis, and I go back to L.A. in another week. I had dinner with a friend of mine. He's a doctor, and he brought along a 93-year-old guy. He was a former British consulate, and his 86-year-old wife. And the 93-year-old is almost blind, and his 86-year-old wife is tougher than nails. And we were having dinner, and she said to me, "How old are you?" And I went, 55 years old. And she said, "Oh, you're just a baby." And I'm telling you, this lady, 86 years old, had more energy than most people half her age. And she said one thing to me, and she said it with such a conviction that it's made me change my mind. She said, "Don't ever stop doing what you love, because that's when it's all over for you." And so what I'm going to do and what I want you to know tonight is, yes, we're going to go through that 2012 date. No doubt about that. What will happen earthwise, I have no idea. But I'm going to stay on the program way beyond that. They're going to have to carry me out in a box. I've made that decision, and that's the way it's going to be. And I'll be back in a moment. We'll take your questions with Doris Weil Helmerine on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest this hour, Doris Weil Helmerine, who has helped thousands of people, whether they read her columns across the country or have seen her on television or heard her on the radio. with her advice about all kinds of things. And this one, we're talking about your resolutions. You know, when you said earlier, Doris, I thought you really were trying to tie in some kind of a coast-to-coast angle here when you said people should just, you know, if their resolution is to exercise, for a moment I thought you were going to say exorcisms, and I got all excited.
You're said, right, George.
This is it. To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Thank you, George.
Yes,
hi.
Sir.
This is Stephen. Is that hi. Who you have, George?
Hi.
Yes.
Okay,
right.
I want to tell you about a most unusual resolution that some people are making.
Okay.
Your aunt, Sophika Karugala, wrote the book, Breakthrough to Creativity. She
yes.
identified sappers that you're talking about.
Yep, that's where I first learned about it.
Now there is a way to find out on each person very simply with a life force field reactor, which is a nanotechnological device for all persons who are sappers. They have a reverse polarity, and they reverse the polarity of anybody they touch or anybody in their presence. Now many of these who have been identified are making a new resolution that they will no longer do this. They wear a small device, which is called a Nova device.
A Nova device? Okay.
Yes, sir. And it immediately works with them, and they enhance the person instead of sapping their fields.
That's interesting. How does that work, Stephen?
Okay. Now, they like President Clinton, he's one of them. He has a reverse polarity. And we can even identify him over television. Not only does his image come by, but his electrical field comes with it. Edgar Mitchell was one who had identified us as being electrical units. Now, when you point this instrument at a TV picture of an active place where he's holding his wife's hand and his daughter is holding the
all
mother's
right.
hand,
okay.
he reversed the polarity of both of them. Now, if he wears a Nova device, he enhances the field of everybody he touches.
Okay, and this little device, does it shock him or anything like that?
Not whatsoever. It works on, it's a nanotechnological device. It's monopolar. There's no way it shocks anybody. It works with the with Planck's constant, and it will absolutely enhance any of these people who are sappers. They will enhance the field of anybody they touch.
Okay, and now what if...
I have one question.
Yes,
where,
ma'am.
Where do you wear this?
You put it on the left side, the large artery running from the heart to the shoulder on the left side, in a brassiere or in a pocket on the left side, or you hold it in your left hand.
How okay. heavy is how heavy is this thing?
This thing, you won't believe it, George, but it's less than an ounce. This is nanotechnology now. This is super nanotechnology.
Okay, so if this helps an energy sapper, what
yes.
does it do if a person who's got great positive energy and he wants just to be pushed off into space? Will it do that?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No, they stay perfectly well. It keeps their immune system in perfect order.
All right, Stephen, thanks. That's a first for me, Doris.
I haven't heard about it either, but it does sound very interesting.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast, where are you calling from?
Elmira, New York.
Okay.
My name is Ray.
Hi.
Hello. And I want to take your guest to task a little bit on a couple
all
of
right.
points.
All right. Try to rough here, her up, but she'll come right back at you. Go ahead.
Actually, no, because this is something that I may think, I think that is very important. With respect to resolutions regarding gambling or smoking, now, I'm certain as a psychiatrist, you are very aware of the addictive qualities of these practices.
Right.
And that's something I think that that in itself should be addressed when you're speaking in of these resolutions and person's capability to make them and stand with them. That is something that's a special category all unto itself.
Well, I on the one hand, I would say yes to that, and on the other hand, I say no, because the reality is that we are thinking human beings, and so we may very much want to decide that we're going to go gambling, but between the time that we decide that we want to go gambling and the time that we actually do that, what happens is we have what's called lag time, and in that lag time, you can actually remake a decision over and over and over. We know that even with people who are on crack cocaine. They can remake that decision over and over and over that they don't have to go out and get the next hit. So even if it's very addictive. And smoking certainly is addictive. There's no doubt about it. But there's also millions of people that have given it up. And how have they given it up? With a variety of techniques in order to be able to help them give up that addictive behavior.
So did you Doris, did you ever get down and depressed in your days?
Me? You know what? I don't get so down and depressed. I think I have a high serotonin level. You know, crummy things happen to me in life also, and so sometimes I feel not good.
You're a human being. Things happen.
But you
happen.
Know what? I reach out to other people, so I have a number of friends that I can call. The other thing that I do is I get really busy, and that's one thing that really helps me. And, in fact, that's what good thing is about a resolution, is because what we know is that resolutions give us purpose. You know, they make us get the job done. And when people have a purpose, they feel better about things. When people come in and somebody's depressed into my office, you know, I want to check out if it's a clinical depression or a situational depression. And if it's a situational depression, immediately I'm giving them some kind of a purpose, some kind of a task, and they feel better about themselves.
Okay, that's good. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George? Happy New Year to you.
You too, sir.
I'm Paul from Taylor, Michigan.
I've heard your voice before. Hi, Paul.
Okay. Yeah, I've had depression bad, real bad in 89. I did something I shouldn't did. And then after that, I've kind of learned to, my doctor told me to, try to work things on my own. You know, do things the way I know how to do them and accept them the way I accept them. So all this time that I've got left, I'm 56 years old, and I've learned to take one day at a time. I mean, I'm still having it bad. We've got it very bad financially and medically, but I just look at everything and take it one day at a time. It's the only way you can do anything anymore. I mean,
which is a pretty wonderful resolution to make for yourself. Is to take one day at a time.
Well, if I tried to look too much farther ahead, my wife tries that. She looks too much farther ahead, and something goes wrong with our car, and we don't have money to fix it with, and she gets really down and out about it. And I tell her, I said, just wait. I said, something will turn around, something will come about. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But you accept whatever comes to you. You have to, or you'll end up the way I did in 89, and I will not let that happen again.
Okay.
So I've learned to, no matter how severe it gets, I've learned how to just, you know, it'll get me down for a couple of days, but I won't let it get me way down like
you.
I did then. Because if you do, then you mess up your whole life.
And you've been defeated.
And I've defeated it. I really think I have defeated it because I take one day at a time. And I accept what comes the next day, even if it ain't going to be good. You've got to accept it and turn it around and make the best of it.
I often tell people that when you're into worrying, give yourself 10 minutes of worry that hour, or 5 minutes of worry that hour, and then 5 minutes of worry every 2 hours. And I think that that's really helpful to people. The other thing is, remember that gone with the wind, I'll think about that tomorrow. I think that's a great phrase for people to get into and to use because, you know, you don't want to, on the one hand, procrastinate, but on the other hand, you always don't want to be so focused on everything that might go wrong that that's a way to tangle yourself up in bad feelings also.
Doris, have you ever had a client who came to you and you were convinced that this person had demons in them? You know, I was joking about the exorcisms, but now a serious question. I mean, has that happened before?
You know, it has never happened for me. My partner was doing hypnosis because she used to be the one that did hypnosis in her office, and she felt like somebody had regressed to an earlier life. And we talked about it, and we did some reading about it, but I have never, myself as a therapist, had that experience.
Okay, next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. We find you on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Oh, George, it's lovely to talk to you. I think you're so genuine, and it comes through on the radio.
Well, thank
but,
you.
I wanted to ask Doris about techniques that she might suggest for getting psyched up in the morning to get done whatever resolution I've made, you know. It seems like about once every 17 days I'll get psyched up to do the resolution, but consistently do it.
What would be the resolution?
Well, I suppose it would be exercise. taking a walk.
Here, you know what I would do then? For that one, I would use an affirmation. So I would say, I would start saying to myself, "What the first thing I want to do in the morning is exercise. The first thing I want to do in the morning is exercise." And you just repeat that over and over and over throughout the day. You repeat it before you go to bed at night, and guess what? The next morning when you put your feet on the floor, the first thing you're going to want to do is exercise. It really does change the neuronal networks in your brain. So you say that, and people always laugh at me when I say, well, say it a couple thousand times a day, but that will really do it for you. Absolutely, it'll do it for you.
If you're sincere in wanting that.
You know what? Even if you're not sincere, what's going to happen is it's going to change your brain. So that would be one of the things that I would definitely do, is to use the affirmation. The other thing is you could do is write a list of the advantages and disadvantages of exercising and see what your list says. Probably you're going to have more advantages than disadvantages. One of the things we do know is once people start to exercise, they get into it a bit. On the other hand, sometimes it's just hard. It's hard work, but it's okay to do hard work, and that's what I tell people too. Too bad it's hard work, do it anyway. And that's what you can say to yourself.
Okay. That works.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. You know, it's hard to believe another year is gone.
I know.
That's the thing that shocks me. They're going by so fast.
That's because we're getting older, George.
Doris, I first met you.
Don't start that again.
In 1979.
I know it. I can remember. We played Pac-Man together.
Yep. You were writing a column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Right.
I wanted to get someone with your abilities who could do something different on television. And we tried to chase you to get you to do television. My best friend, who's now died of cancer, Monty Salisbury.
I know, Salisbury. Marty. He loved trains.
Oh, he loved trains. Yeah. He always used to wear the little conductor hats
and
everything
else. Yeah, he was such
a great guy. It was his task to go and round you up. And I'm telling you, we must have worked it for months before we changed your mind. And I don't know, should we tell people why you changed your mind?
Oh, well, go ahead. I can be bought.
Because we offered you a clothes allowance on television. That's all
it
took.
And that's what did it.
We found your weakness, psychotherapist. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, how's it going, George?
It is well, thank you.
First of all, I want to tell you I love your show, and I've got kind of a funny thing for you. I have a New Year's resolution that I think you're going to enjoy, and I have a quick story afterwards.
Okay.
So I'll jump right into it. George, I love reading books. My favorite book is probably Don Quixote. And the thing that intrigues me most about him is the stories and, you know, the fantasies and things he has going on in his mind. Well, this kind of leads into my New Year's resolution, is to be nice to the customer service people.
I like that.
I think that's a great resolution.
I purchased a laptop, and I'm not going to name the company which I purchased it from, but I've had nothing but problems with this laptop. And I'll tell you what, their customer service is the worst. They play phone tag with me. They switch me over to the department. Nobody can figure out what to do. So meanwhile, I'm waiting, you know, I'm just waiting for someone to pick up the line. And I'm like Don Quixote. All of a sudden, I get all these fantasies and these things going on in my mind, but not about myself, but about what the customer service person is doing. And then before I know it, they're talking to me, and, you know, they've already entered my mind. They're entered my little world. And then, you know, I snap out of it, and then I freak out on them. I get upset. I get
well, that, I think your resolution is probably the best for yourself, too, not just them.
For me, it's just to be nicer to customer service. And the quick story, George, and I think you might, I don't know.
I tell you what, you got to save the story when I come back and we'll do open lines, because the clock has us. We're going to get to the top of the hour. Doris Weil-Helmer's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Just go take a look at that. She's also a pretty accomplished author. Doris, have a great new year.
Thank you, George. You too.
Appreciate you being on the program. Now, just around the corner, let's really talk about the Mayans and what they had up their sleeve for 2012 with our guest, John Major Jenkins. I'm George Norrie. Coast to Coast AM continues.